Well, Jesus certainly had a way of being dramatic, didn't he? Of catching people's attention. I mean, we're kind of numb to it because we've heard these gospel passages a lot of times. But can you imagine standing there and hearing Jesus say, "Unless you chow down on my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you"? I mean, is it any wonder that the crowd's reaction was, "How can he give us his flesh to eat?" I mean, I think that any children really listening to this passage would be wondering about that too, right? We don't eat people, right? We don't eat people. Yeah, that's gross. Yeah. And, you know, as a matter of fact, the early Christians, the Romans accused them of being cannibals, right? Because of passages like this and the Christians talking about eating Christ's body and blood, right? It sounds pretty extreme. Yeah. I appreciate Iris's chiming in. That's great. And Jesus goes on to say, you know, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Now, there are a lot of churches who paint this whole picture as, okay, so if you take communion and if you believe all the right things, then you're going to heaven. And if you don't believe in all the right things about Jesus, you're going to hell. Believe in Jesus or else that's it. But that's really not what Jesus is talking about here. And when we translate this passage as if it were only about living forever or dying eternally, we miss a huge part of what Jesus is saying. Jesus tells his listeners, "I, in myself, am the living bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread whose essence is life. I am the bread who is life itself, true life, real life, divine life. Whoever eats me will live because of me. Whoever takes me in to themselves, that person will live because of me." It's helpful to go back and think about the very beginning of the Gospel of John. In John chapter 1, we get this beautiful poem that talks about the Word that was with God in the beginning, the Word that was God, who came down and was made flesh. This Word through whom God made the whole world. John 1 says, "Without that Word, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people." So Jesus is the life that brings the whole, all things that are living to life. I grew up hearing sermons all the time about Jesus gave his life for us. And that is true. And Jesus talks in this passage about giving his life for us. When he died, he gave his life on our behalf. He gave his life on behalf of the world, for the sake of the world. But the truth is deeper than that. It's not just that he gave his life for us. It is that Jesus gives his life to us. And he invites us to take his life into ourselves, to live because of him. And what he offers is eternal life. As I said, we often talk about that as if that just meant life that goes on eternally. And that is an important part of what it means. We do, as Christians, confess that we will be raised and that we will have eternal life with God, life that goes on eternally. But there's more to it than that. Because this word that keeps cropping up in this passage about eternal means more than just everlasting, doesn't end. It means life that shares the character and qualities of God, of the one who is eternal. It's life shaped by that eternal being, the one who is I am, and who calls us to participate in real life, not a half-life, not a hopeless, meaningless existence, but to take God's own real life into ourselves and to be changed by it. Craig Barnes, in an article, or in the book, The Pastor is Minor Poet, said, "The work of Jesus Christ in our lives is to restore the divine image, which has become so distorted that it can no longer be recognized. The distortion came about by our attempts to cram other images into our souls, which made it impossible for us to remember who we were created to be." The work of Christ in our lives is to enter us so fully, to live in us so fully, that those other images that we have taken into ourselves are pushed aside, pushed out, and we are transformed more and more into the image of Christ, so that Christ lives in us. And one very important way that that happens is through our receiving communion. We take Christ into ourselves. Now, ironically, as this passage came up for this Sunday, this is the week in which both BACs will be voting about whether to continue in-person worship. St. Stephen BAC will be meeting after church today, and St. Luke's BAC is meeting on Tuesday evening, and we'll be having a discussion, and I've gotten a number of requests from the congregation, and you've noticed that a lot of people have voted with their feet. We don't have anything like our normal attendance this morning, because the COVID numbers are up, and it is a frightening time, and even vaccinated people are becoming ill. So, and I'm very aware that we have a baptism next week, and that will go forward one way or another, okay? So, Iris, who's here present with us today, is going to be baptized next week, and what a wonderful event, and I've been looking forward to it for months, and we're not going to cancel that, I promise. But for many, this may be the last time for a while that you are able to receive communion here in this place. And that raises the question, what about when we can't receive communion? Does that mean that we're no longer receiving Christ's life? Well, according to our Episcopal Catechism, which you can find at the back of the Book of Common Prayer if you've never looked there, the Catechism tells us that the sacraments in general, including the Eucharist, are that the bread and wine of the Eucharist are outward and visible signs of inward and spiritual grace, given by Christ as sure and certain means by which we receive that grace. So the bread and wine are sure and certain means by which we receive the free gift of forgiveness, by which we take Christ's life into ourselves. But they are not the only way that we receive that grace. And that's really important to remember. I mean, we went through a fast of more than a year. And unfortunately, we may very well be heading back into that. But God is not limited to one method of coming to us. God comes to us daily. Christ's life is the very life by which we live. And what we're called to is to open our eyes to the life of Christ all around us, to breathe Christ in with every breath, to eat Christ with every meal, to grow increasingly, day by day, in the knowledge and love of God in Christ. Christ comes to give us life, true life, and Christ continues to be present within and among us, even when we can't receive the bread and wine or be present with each other. It doesn't separate us from the love of Christ, because remember the beautiful promise of Paul. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of Christ. That is the love in which we live. So today, as you receive communion, I do invite you to receive it thoughtfully and thankfully, to be very aware of what it means and that Christ is meeting you here. But then also to remember that Christ meets you daily, that there is nothing that can separate you from that holy, eternal love. Amen.